This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom, and this week I'm the only host because unfortunately Tim has caught the novel coronavirus yet again. The first time wasn't enough. He wanted to try it a second time, and that really threw a wrench into our recording schedule this week. So instead of hearing Tim cough for an hour, we're giving you, the listener, this well, I guess it's not exclusive because it was available somewhere else, but a preview episode from our Patreon. This was a recent episode from Books the Podcast when we were covering short stories called the short story called The Yellow Wallpaper. Check it out. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks, guys.
Hello and welcome to Books the Podcast, the only podcast about books. I'm Tim.
I'm Tom.
And we're Booksmen.
Weird Booksmen.
Short Storiesmen.
We should do that every week, even if it's not a short story we're reading.
Yeah, it's accurate. I mean, we're always reading short stories.
Yeah.
You and I.
Wait, what?
To each other. Sometimes you have me over and say, Tim, read me a story.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's more of that's a bedtime story. That's not necessarily a short story.
I guess short stories every day. I read Fox and Sox. I read Grumpy Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I read The Little Engine That Could. Tom, you and Laura got a book for my son.
Mm-hmm.
This Dolly Parton version of the little engine that could.
Yeah, the train's got a huge set of knockers on it.
No, it's the little engine that could.
Uh huh.
And it's got a foreword by Dolly Parton talking about how important the book is or whatever.
Yeah,
because she gives books to kids.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
she has a whole program.
Very charitable woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and before
did a duet with Kid Rock, and then talked about how cancel culture did him dirty. But we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
but this version of Little Engine That Could, Tom,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you'd like. It's really long.
Okay,
and it keeps it kills a lot of time when we're trying to keep him calm down. So I appreciate it. Thank you for this, but also the train breaks down. You know the story of the little engine that
can? Yeah.
Train breaks down.
I think I can.
And then a little engine comes and pulls it over. But
mm-hmm.
She doesn't think she can, but
right.
She actually does think she can.
Other people think she can.
Yeah, whatever. First,
mm-hmm.
Three other engines come.
Oh, okay.
And they're all shitheads.
Yeah, so
and
they really all, make a meal out of this story.
There's this one arrogant train that's I'm not gonna fucking
but it curses?
Yeah, and it's three pages of this one train being your train is bullshit. I'm not fucking carrying you.
Wow.
And another guy's he's a different snooty in a different way.
Okay.
They waste all this time. It's 16 pages of engines being dicks to this train and then being please, we need to get over the mountain. They're you're
well,
not
well,
worth
have you
the
thought about
fucking
eating shit.
Shit on the bottom of my shoe.
Mm.
And then they will. So
so you're also teaching your son a valuable lesson about assholes.
Yeah, I think actually kind of yeah. Because yeah. We do,
I've been trying to teach him about assholes as much as I can.
No better way than just being yourself around him, Tom.
Exactly.
Whenever, actually, last time it was pretty effective. Mm-hmm. As soon as you walked out the door, he turned to me and went, What was with that asshole?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's so good. Yeah. You know, Tim, a lot of times, like, you know, you'll walk away for a minute. I'll pull your son aside. I'll go, don't turn out like me, kid.
He knows. He's been briefed before you go. Good book, Little Engine That Could. Maybe we should read that next week. You should read this version with the three assholes.
Pretty good. Yeah. You know, and I'm glad you guys were adamant before we gave you that book that you were going to raise your son not to read. And
yeah.
I was just like, I don't know, Tim. I checked out all those links you sent me, those websites,
mm-hmm.
but I still think it wouldn't be a bad thing if your son learned how to read.
No books, no vaccines.
Assholes only shown in a positive light. So you read a lot of short stories is what you're saying.
Yeah. Children's books was the joke.
But I got it.
Really animated about the Little Engine That Could.
I mean, it sounds like this Little Engine That Could is kind of a short story. You know,
they're all short stories.
Yeah, but I mean, there's more to it than I guess. Because I've definitely run into that problem, like reading books to kids where it's like, oh, this book's got like 50 words in it total. I'm going to blow through this.
Yeah.
And then I know you're going to just tell me to like start again.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but you know, I already know this story.
Yeah, we just read it.
Yeah. Tim, we read a short story this week called The Yellow Wallpaper by, what's the author's name?
Well, you don't remember?
I was not aware of this story beforehand, which, you know, is maybe
Charlotte Perkins.
Charlotte Perkins Stetson.
Gilman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I only have three names on my cover.
Oh,
here.
See, wait, what does your cover say?
Charlotte Perkins Stetson.
I got Charlotte Perkins Gilman over here.
Wow.
And then it says about the author, Charlotte Perkins Stetson Gilman passed away in 1935. That's what you're going to lead with? Oh, no. When she passed away in 1935, she was well known for both her political and journalistic writing as well as her unusual personal life.
Oh, okay.
The first sentence of the about the author.
Yeah, and what's the next sentence?
As a pioneering journalist and feminist scholar in her mm-hmm. day, Gilman was a supporter of women's rights activists like Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and her great aunt, Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Wow. Nepo baby.
Yeah. How is this unusual so far?
Well, maybe that part's not unusual, but maybe there was other stuff that was unusual.
She argued that the conventional family power structure did not benefit anyone, not the wife who was treated like an unpaid servant,
mm-hmm.
not the husband who was treated like a master. I mean, it seems like he's being treated pretty well. and not the kids who were subject to both. Women in Economics, her most ambitious study, examined the hidden war. This about the author hints at or says unusual personal life and doesn't go into it.
Yeah. But you assume that the unusual personal life is related to having so many last names.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard about this person before, because I'm surprised to hear about somebody, you know, 100 years ago raising these issues,
mm-hmm.
so much in the public eye.
Yeah.
And like you were joking like, it sounds like the husband's great. He's, you know, the slave master. It's like nobody wants to actually be a slave master. That's also.
They didn't say slave master.
Oh, that you added that?
No, you added it in your head.
Well, she said master, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that implies. That, you know, he's the husband's in charge.
Tom,
of
I'm
the
a
wife.
Master builder.
Yeah, I bet.
What does that mean?
I was thinking of the Big Johnson shirts about masturbators, but it was, you know, a fishing thing. Did you know anything about this story going into
No,
it,
of course
Tim?
Not. But mostly not because it was a, you know, landmark feminist mm-hmm. work, mostly because it came out in 1892. a full 90 years before I was born.
Yeah.
And even I think then,
that's a year.
I was a baby when I was born, so.
Columbus found America, right?
Yeah.
1892, mm-hmm. Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. How old was she when she died? Do you know? Can you do that math quickly?
I'll tell you. What the heck?
I feel like a lot of, I mean, maybe I'm just thinking of like,
75 lived.
Yeah. Well, I was
for the time, I think a pretty, hearty life.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's just because, most like female authors from like a long time ago, like died tragically young. Or not most of them, but the ones we hear about, the ones in like popular culture, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear somebody made it to the ripe age of 75.
Tom, I'm getting to the bottom of this over here. Mm-hmm. What is the name? Her name as
as printed on my copy?
Yeah.
Let me see. It is Charlotte Perkins Stetson. Like the hat, like a Stetson hat.
Gotcha. So I got mm-hmm. Charlotte Perkins Gilman over here.
Yeah. Like,
guess what?
Mm-hmm.
At the time this was originally published,
oh boy,
she was married to Charles Walter Stetson.
Oh, okay.
And then divorced him in 1894. I didn't know a divorce yeah. existed in 1894.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like they wanted a divorce, like if the woman wanted it. Yeah. Stoned her to death, and if the man wanted it, they stoned the woman to death, right? Like,
yeah, they would just be like, "All right, we'll kill her, yeah. and then you can just go and get remarried."
She got, and then she got remarried to Gilman.
Wait, so, what do you mean remarried? She was married to him in the first place.
No, she got married.
Oh, okay.
She got remarried. She got
I thought you were saying like she's married to Gilman.
You've
she
never
married
heard
Stetson,
remarried. Except in the context of somebody marrying the same person a couple yeah. times.
That's what that means, right? Well, they got remarried. The divorce didn't take.
So, yeah. So, I guess she was just born Charlotte Perkins.
Yeah. I feel like there was probably... that's probably not what they mean by she had like an interesting personal life,
it was
though.
Unusual.
Unusual personal life.
I don't know.
They didn't specify. It was unusual, but not interesting. It was just kind of a boring personal life. It's very unusual in that way. She was, spent her life in the mid to late 1800s, early 1900s, and she was really into video games, which didn't exist yet. So it's a very unusual life.
During the year she left her husband,
mm-hmm.
Charlotte met Adeline Knapp,
mm-hmm.
Cynthia J. Davis describes how the two women had a serious relationship.
Oh.
She writes that Gilman, quote, believed that in Dell, that's what she called
the friend.
Yeah, she had found a way to combine loving and living.
Mm-hmm.
And that with a woman as life mate,
what,
she
but
might
what
more
about
easily
laughing? Did
uphold.
Did she laugh?
I think so.
If you're living and laughing, living and loving, but you're not laughing.
She might. Is that really living?
Yeah.
She might more easily uphold that combination than she would in a conventional heterosexual marriage.
Mm.
The relationship ultimately came to an end. That's Wikipedia for you.
Yeah.
I guess that in the context of the time,
mm-hmm.
openly about that is,
oh,
unusually,
yeah, that's
is unusual, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like, of course, like being gay was not an acceptable thing back then. But I almost feel like being bisexual was not that it was less acceptable or more acceptable or any, I don't know if, about how they felt about it, but I feel like it was like more confusing probably
yeah.
to people. Like, what do you mean?
I think even now people are more confused.
Oh
by,
yeah, absolutely. Like I think
we live in a bubble, but I think there's very much a like, all right, gay people, everybody mm-hmm. has now come around to wrapping their heads around.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
anything beyond that, people, like, there's some contingent of people being like, wait, what's this now?
Oh, all right.
So there's, I was under the impression they were straight and gay.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going on with this?
Yeah, and what do you mean sometimes, you know, you're attracted to one sex and sometimes you're attracted to the other and... You go through phases maybe where you're just dating one gender and then the other. I can't keep track. What do you mean? You're all different in how you do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've got the woke mind virus.
yeah. Well, woke mind virus patient zero here. What's her name again? Charlotte?
We're doing great so far, Tom.
Well,
a landmark episode.
So
I'm gonna go back to the little engine that could.
Something we can wrap our minds around.
We can wrap our minds around
this story.
No, somebody
who's bisexual. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't mean to imply that I couldn't. Yeah. I'm just saying the story because the story's. Subtle. You have to.
Is it?
Maybe subtle's not the right word, but it's.
Before we get into it,
mm-hmm.
How did you obtain your copy of the story?
I found it online, but then I was like, I don't like reading it this way. So I found it on Project Steve Gutenberg, and then I sent it. I sent it to my Kindle, but then I just read it on my iPad in the Kindle app. But that's what I'm used to reading in, is what I can take notes in and highlight. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I refuse to apologize for it.
Project Steve Gutenberg takes a book in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it available, right?
Makes it available in digital format. So like yeah. EPUB and
so
e-reader
format. I got a Kobo reader, Tom.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the whatever Kobo store.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid 99 cents to download this.
Yeah, I did look on Amazon and they had it for 99 cents, which is bullshit because like they used to allow, at least on Amazon... any like public domain, anyone could upload their own copy of it. And I know this because like when the Kindle first came out, I think I put on there a copy of Benjamin Button's
mm-hmm.
like a public domain. I put it on there.
Wow,
like
okay.
I found the public domain text and like formatted and everything. And
tried to sell it.
Yeah, it was like when the movie was coming out, I was like, oh, people are going to want to watch they're going to be watching Benjamin Button.
They're
going to want to
read along.
They're going to want to read along. And I think I just made it like 99 cents, but it was like one of those things where it was like such early days. I think I did make like, a few hundred bucks off it. But
that's the version that David Fincher used to make the movie.
It is. It's famously, if you watch the credits very closely, it will say, based on a story by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Uploaded by Tom Reynolds. And look, I don't know why they made my name bigger than his.
Hey.
But, that's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood for you, yeah.
Yeah. And I brought it up during one of the screenings and they said, hey, is F. Scott going to complain?
That's true.
And
yeah.
I said, yeah, I guess he's not. I thought F. Scott Fitzgerald was the weatherman. What was that guy's name?
Willard Scott.
Yeah. So I was very confused why they would care what the weatherman thought at all.
I don't understand the reality of this story now.
Some of what I told is true. Some was a lie. But anyway, my point being that they used to just allow public domain books and, whatever. And then they did get to a point where I think it got too out of control. So they were like, all right, look. Like, unless you're making substantial edits or annotations, any kind of contribution, we're only going to have one copy of public domain things. But then those copies are 99 cents, and it used to be you could get some of those for free.
Yeah. You know what? In terms of the Kobo store.
Yeah.
I downloaded it for 99 cents, opened it up, and it says, like, on the first page, like, this is a product of Project Gutenberg or whatever. And it's like, somebody did the old Tom Reynolds trick. But I'm also grateful that I didn't have to, like, download it from a website and out how to get it onto my, like, you know, non-name brand Kindle. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, $1. Somebody did this and formatted it and got it onto my thing. I'll pay.
I was going to say that, like, I almost just paid 99 cents because I was like, what? But I do this stuff for a living, so I know how to, like, very
I don't know how to do that. That would have taken me an hour and a half.
Exactly. And for me, like, I have, like, shortcuts set up and everything. It took 3 seconds to do it. It was mostly out of, like, I'm not going to give this 30 cents to some charlatan. That just happened to have his copy be the copy that Amazon blessed.
You're so jealous about the
Tim.
Benjamin
if I
Buttons.
Saw that F. Scott Fitzgerald money coming in, especially
things
with
would be pretty different,
especially with how big of a deal Benjamin Buttons has become.
Oh my God!
In recent years,
it's Benjamin Buttons fever has only grown.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it's because Benjamin Buttons disease has only grown.
I know. So many more children are afflicted.
And people are just,
we even call them children?
Yeah,
like old fucking men.
Well, and Tim, I think it's also very confusing for you to say Benjamin Button's fever because, you know, now people are going to be, they're going to be like, oh, my kid has a fever. Is it Benjamin Button's fever? Are they going, am I going to wake up tomorrow to a little old man in this crib?
Probably. Yeah, the answer is probably.
The answer is probably, and you can learn more about it by buying a book on Amazon.
I think that movie came out like 15 years ago.
Yeah. It's also this is nitpicks that won't matter to anyone, but that F. Scott Fitzgerald copy of Benjamin Buttons is like still in my Kindle direct publishing dashboard with like all my
actual books.
Yeah. And like it's, you know, it's archived or whatever, but I can't get rid of it. It's on the fucking home screen. So I see it every day.
A constant reminder that you're no F. Scott Fitzgerald.
A constant reminder that one time I was. At one time, I was the publisher of F. Scott Fitzgerald's work.
Oh, Tom. You had so much. See, you always get offended when I talk about how, like, you got some scam running that's like.
Well, it's because.
It's my biggest nightmare, Tom. Can I tell you something?
What?
That one day you're going to be like, I had this scam going and, like, it hit big and I made, like, $30 million and, like, see you later.
Yeah.
Forever.
Well, thanks for that being your biggest nightmare, me winning the lottery.
Oh, it's just like you didn't work for it.
But did I? Because if I'm always trying to get in at the ground level.
It's Reynolds. He's always got an angle.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, I remember like uploading that copy, I think right when Kindle Direct Publishing, which is like how you self-publish on Amazon, became available. And there's a ambulance. I called an ambulance to
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
It turned. It's fine. Probably nobody even heard it in the first place. And now they're like, get on with it. Tell us about that.
Well, if it's not in there, I'll put in some ambulance sound effects.
Okay. No, but I remember like just reading about KDP going live. And I was like, oh, I want to try this out. Like, and let me see if I can make a few bucks. Like I did that when like the App Store became a thing.
Right. She famously made a private web browser that
That was when the iPad came out.
That was fraud, Tom.
So, for brain, I don't know if we've even like told these stories, but
I think I've told that one before because I'm so mad about it.
I remember when the App Store first came out, I was still working for Apple, and it wasn't very clear if we could like do like put stuff on the App Store, if that was like a conflict of interest, you know, and like obviously working at a store, it's like, well, I'm not fucking coding iOS. It's fine. It's not a conflict of interest. But anyway, it could have been because Apple, especially back then, was very weird about stuff. So like I didn't tell anyone. I kept trying to get a fart app through.
I know.
Because I was like,
that's
look.
The dream right there. Slipping a fart app past old man Jobs.
Yeah. Because the first person, like there was, I think it took like maybe a year or two. But like finally one day without fanfare, Apple decided like, fine.
Farts are apps okay, can go, yeah.
And an app called iFart. I remember reading like a profile of like the man made $3 million in a month before like anyone else got their fart app up.
I mean, those are difficult to develop.
So anyway, that was like, you know, I was trying to do that. I did get a sad trombone app.
If you made $3 million from a fart app, that wouldn't be my biggest nightmare, I think. I mean,
That wouldn't be, or it would
no,
be?
No, I don't think
you'd
so.
Respect it.
I think there's, yeah.
Tim, if I made $3 million from a fart app, that money would be long gone. I'd probably be in jail right now. but anyway, when the iPad came out, I was like, all right, second chance at greatness here. Let me, and I had learned a little bit more about development. And at this point, this is such early days, there was not a way to do private browsing, incognito browsing on the iPad or the iPhone.
Right.
So I developed an app.
You.
Yeah.
Nobody had done it, but Tom Reynolds, a guy who's not an app developer, cracks it.
Yeah. Well, I don't, there weren't, I mean, there were probably like a couple, but like not enough. You know, and I just saw it as like a need. Like, look, some people are gonna.
I know, but like, it's very funny that you're like, hey, there are people who are like professional developers for this platform.
Yeah.
And they haven't made this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably because it's like difficult to do. I don't know.
No, I think it's just because they're thinking too big, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm.
But like, you had. I don't want to be offensive here, but like no expertise in that.
No,
space.
No. Okay. I was self-taught like out of a book and the internet. And basically my idea was just, look, if I can build an app, this is all the app has to do is have a URL bar where you can put in a URL and then the rest of it, it just displays the website. And like,
you just described a web browser, Tom.
But the thing is, Apple to this day does not allow third-party web browser, or they do, but not third-party web rendering engines.
Okay.
So as a result of that, they've said for, you know, 15 years now, hey, you need to display a website. We have an API and it just uses the Safari rendering engine. So I thought like, okay, I bet it's pretty easy to have just basically like a form, almost like an input field, you put in a website, and then you're just doing like a very simple API call to like, you know, it's almost like HTML or whatever, just like display web view X, and X is whatever they put in there.
Okay.
And I kind of thought, this is great because all I'm really doing is like building the most basic browser you possibly could. Doesn't have, you know, like a back button or forward. I think actually maybe I did put a back and forward button. I figured out how to do that. But it was like the allure to this is going to be that there's no history.
Right.
And that's great because that's something I would have to build. It's not something I'm taking out. It's something I'm just not building in the first place. But something, I contend,
was horribly wrong.
I contend this was still an iOS bug.
It might have been, Tom. So what you did is you were demonstrating on my iPad, and you brought up some pornography video, yeah. And you're like, "Look, you can watch pornography in this browser, and then like nobody will be able to track you." And I was like, first of all, nobody else uses my
iPad. Yeah, I get just to look at pornography on here.
And then you like X'd out of the app or whatever.
Went to like a different app.
And then I went to a different app and the pornography was now playing in that app. Like a totally unrelated app.
It was the worst thing you could ever ask from a private browsing app. That it not only didn't keep it like confined within the app, it was putting it in other apps somehow.
Random apps. I think for like another week there was still pornography playing when I was trying to open like Yelp. Like, let me see what restaurants are in the area.
It shouldn't have been possible. Like iOS, especially back in the day, was built with like so many fucking sandboxes and walls that like apps couldn't talk to each other. I don't think like copy and paste was even in there yet.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, we have to make sure we do it right because we can't have people abuse it. And yeah, somehow this app, I don't know. There must have been a bug in iOS, and it would just show porn. You couldn't get rid of it. You had to restart the iPad to get rid of the pornography. I made a few bucks on it.
Yeah, I feel like you should have also been taken to court about it.
I didn't get any. Tim, who's going to complain? Who's going to take up a lawsuit against when they're trying to keep their pornos hidden in the first place? I think I only charged 99 cents for it.
Okay.
Tim, from what I understand,
that's more than you're willing to pay for the yellow wallpaper.
I was going to say, from what I understand, it's the same price as a copy of the yellow wallpaper. And I don't know, you can use it again and again.
Okay.
I don't think you can use it now. I don't think it would work with current. I mean, it hasn't been in the App Store in over a decade, but. And I think it was just called like private browser.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tom, we read Sorry, I'm looking something up here.
Yeah.
We read the yellow wallpaper.
Are you trying to look up private browser on the App Store? I told you it's not there anymore. You're trying to see if that porno you were watching still comes up?
I bet if I re-downloaded the app.
it would still just show the old... Be like, this is not the same iPad, but...
I just want to say on Patreon, Rebecca and Joe... Mm-hmm. Both suggested this.
Yeah, I think it was like the first thing I saw that had more than one suggestion.
Yeah.
And I think and maybe we'll read it next week. A couple of people suggested Stephen King's The Jaunt.
Right.
Which I've heard about, but I've never read it. Like, I know what it's about, and it sounds terrifying.
What is it about? Some kind of jaunt?
It's about like a near... Or maybe not even near, maybe far future. And maybe I'm wrong about this.
Read this fucking
but
shit.
From what far I understand, future. It's where it's a future where teleportation exists. But the thing is, you have to keep your eyes closed during it, because if you open your eyes during it, you're stuck in like that hell for 1,000 years.
I'm not reading this. We'll figure out another thing to read.
Well, thanks for your suggestion, guys.
Nobody's gonna be offended that it's like based on that description. Like, I don't care about teleportation, and
it's not about teleportation. It's about like being, I think, stuck in your own head for like thousands of years and what that would do.
I wouldn't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, well, don't keep your eyes closed when you teleport. It's that easy.
Yeah.
You know,
wait,
what?
Don't keep my eyes closed when
maybe
I'm
I do want to read, because now I'm thinking like, look, if it's that important, why don't they tape their eyes closed before they go, just for safety's sake?
Right. Why don't you just write a letter to Stephen King and ask him?
Well,
you don't have to spend all this time reading a
short
story about it.
Can you please publish an updated version where they tape guys' eyes closed before they do this? I mean, it's an awful big risk.
We're supposed to talk about this next week. This week, we're talking about the yellow wallpaper.
Yeah, the yellow wallpaper, suggested by at least two people. Rebecca and Joe. Yeah, Rebecca and Joe.
J-O.
I...
No E.
Well, did I pronounce it like there was an E at the end?
You did, you went Joe.
Joey. I literally did not know anything about this going in. I'd never heard it, like I mentioned earlier. I'd never heard of this. I did not know that it's like a famous feminist text, you know, very influential short story. And so let me add, should we explain what the basic plot is, I guess, and then get into the actual meat and potatoes?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
There's a woman.
Yeah.
And she's suffering.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say she sucks.
No, she doesn't.
She's always complaining.
So she is suffering from, what do we think, depression?
I think it's postpartum depression.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because her it's the 1890s, so everything sucks.
Yeah. And I mean, was anyone... I mean, I'm guessing it was like a thing women knew, like, oh yeah, sometimes when you have a baby, you're very depressed afterwards, but probably only like talk to each other in whispers about.
I mean, knowing how, or seeing firsthand how like even now in 2023, mm-hmm. like there's so much like touch and go stuff with childbirth.
Yeah.
Where like it's such a complex, like thinking about like 130 years ago, even mm-hmm. how that the mental toll, mm-hmm. the physical toll, like,
yeah. I mean, I was watching something the other day where there was
knowing firsthand because I had a child biologically out of my body. Yes.
I don't think we've ever mentioned on the show that it was a junior situation.
Yeah, exactly.
The birth of your son. I'm pregnant. Tim, I'll never forget the day you came to my house and you said, I'm pregnant. That completely threw me off.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I was watching something, you know, I don't know, a random thing where there was like, you know, the birth of a child happening in the show or movie or whatever. And I was like, man, it's kind of insane that this is, you know, childbirth's a natural thing. But if you want, like, better than 50-50 odds of dying during it, it requires like a lot of surrounding things going on. And you know, some people have different takes.
Some would argue that's not the case at all, and that all that stuff like actually complicates it and makes it more dangerous.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I was gonna say. Some people will say, no, actually, yeah, you don't need that, you should be doing it the natural way. But
neither of us is here to weigh in on that.
Yeah. Well, but I think even people that are supportive of, natural births, except for like maybe extremists, would say, but there are cases where, yes, it's advisable you should have this birth in a hospital. But then I was thinking about, too, like when we read Sapiens, see this, bringing in knowledge from other books. They were talking about how weird humans are when we're born because we're so defenseless.
Oh yeah.
And I always think that about like, you see, you know, a horse plops out
and then like runs around.
Yeah. And then like runs
like,
around,
jumps over the fence. And yeah. It's like...
Somebody puts a saddle on him and he's like, yeah, all right, hop on.
Yeah. Kentucky Derby. I'll run it. Give a shit.
But that is the reason why we're different, we being humans, is because our fucking heads are so big.
Yeah.
Because our brains are so big that basically evolutionarily at some point it was like, all right, the baby's going to have to like come out way sooner than any other animal would in this situation, because otherwise it's just not going to be able to fit. It's not being because isn't it like elephants are pregnant for like years or something?
Sure.
Crazy.
Tom, we've gotten like one sentence into the story.
All right. Sorry. Keep going.
I don't know what the gestation period for an elephant is. I'm sorry. I don't think it's relevant to this psychological short story that takes place entirely in one room.
I'm just saying pregnancy is crazy.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, so.
But then dogs are only like pregnant for a little while.
I don't know. What is it? How long are you're looking it up? How long are dogs pregnant for?
Fuck, man. You know how long elephants are pregnant for?
A year.
2 years.
What about dogs?
Two years.
Now I need to know dogs.
22 months. Almost 2 years.
I need to know dogs.
But I imagine if an elephant's like 2 months late, it's probably not that big of a deal.
What is your search query right now?
A gestation dog.
Okay.
Tim, you know how long a fucking dog is pregnant for?
How long?
2 months.
That's fucked up. That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, puppies are like fairly defenseless when they're born too.
I think so, but they're also cute.
But they are very, I mean, most babies are pretty cute when they're born.
Yeah.
So that.
Some babies,
yeah,
we all got to pretend.
Human babies you're talking about? Yeah. Or? Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're not like, I'm just thinking of like when hamsters have babies and they look like little gummies or whatever. Yeah, yeah. That's like, oh, those aren't cute. No, they came out too soon. Put them back in.
Put them back in the eggs. You always scream when you see a hamster giving birth.
Put them back in the eggs.
Tom, can you just look up gestation hamster real quick?
Oh my God, Tim. I don't know if I want to. It might be like so quick that it drives us insane.
Yeah. And then we got to do rats and then we're done.
Oh, fuck, Tim. As little as 2 weeks.
2 weeks a hamster?
16 to 30 days.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Tom, you got to look up rat real quick.
Tim, this is going to be the whole episode. I mean, it kind of seems like the bigger the animal, the longer the gestation period. I won't even, I mean, I might look up whales. Rats are, they reach their sexual maturity at 5 weeks. But gestation time?
You're always looking at the age of consent, but that's not what we're talking about here.
3 weeks for rats.
3 weeks, okay.
I got to look up whales real quick. Hold on. Whales, 10 to 18 months. So, okay. Longer than
splitting
a human.
The difference
but not,
between humans and elephants.
Elephants have to be 2 years?
Yeah.
Get a life.
We'll just look up longest gestation.
All right.
Elephants have nothing better to do than to carry a freaking elephant in their belly for 2 years.
Do you want to keep explaining the short story? All right. Elephants. What? No, it's elephants. Yeah. Because I'm looking at a list on treehugger.com. Of and that is the actual, I'm not like on msnbc.com or something, but they have a list of the top 10 and that was number one, so I assume that's the top.
All right, so the woman, the narrator,
wait a minute. Tim, sometimes salamanders can be pregnant for 3 years.
What the fuck? I'm not even clear on what a salamander even is. Are you?
And guess what? It depends on the altitude they live at.
Of course, the altitude.
Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
What? Tim, breaking news. Guess how long some sharks can be pregnant for?
Long jump.
3.5 years.
All right. At this point, a few years. Wow, 3.5 years, though. How long? What's a shark's lifespan, though?
Some sharks. I read recently about. I read recently about a shark they found that I think was 500 years old.
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was very old.
You thought or the scientists thought?
Look, it's basically the same thing. You have to see how old the shark looked in this picture, Tim. He didn't even have any teeth left. You know, it's another crazy animal that can have very long births or very long pregnancies. Donkeys.
Joe and Rebecca are so pissed at us right now. How long is a donkey?
Well, get this. They can last up to 14 months, but
donkeys come out stupid because they grow up stupid too, right?
Wow.
A donkey isn't going to be smart, right? Is there even one smart donkey?
No, donkeys are smart. They're just stubborn.
Huh.
And then a donkey can get pregnant again 5 to 13 days later. They can go into what's known as foul heat and breed again. Oh, boy. So there are some donkeys out there that are just pregnant all the time.
So the narrator and her husband, John, who's a physician.
Salamanders can live for 20 years?
That doesn't seem... That's tragic, actually.
It's like a little tiny lizard. 20 years?
Tom, I told you, I'm never clear on what a salamander actually is.
I mean, I guess, you know...
I've never seen a salamander, have you?
Yeah, I've seen salamanders.
Where?
Yeah, in Mexico, I saw some salamanders.
Yeah, so don't worry.
A lot of the other animals, what do you expect? Walruses, rhinos, velvet worms.
Velvet worms.
Yeah, look at this guy. 15 months they're pregnant.
Wow.
Oh, and it doesn't even look like a worm. It kind of looks like a little caterpillar. Wait, are velvet worms?
The narrator and her husband.
I thought it was saying in this velvet,
John,
velvet worms
physician.
Were mammals and that. No thanks.
Rent a mansion, essentially, what, the summer?
Yeah, that's...
And she's just like, hey, this isn't normally for people like us.
Yeah.
But we'd have to be able to rent seasonally. Like, everybody apparently rents seasonally these houses that they go to. Yeah,
but this is, like, beyond their means a little bit.
Yeah, and she's like, for some reason, it was all... Or new to their means. Yeah, well, no, it was like, she's like, normally we wouldn't be able to afford this, but, like, it had been vacant for a very long time. They told us there was, like... You know, it's about like heirs, like tied up and like heirs, like fighting over it or whatever.
Heirs
whatever.
To the throne, yeah.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. Yeah, we got it cheap. Mm-hmm. Basically, she's like, she very clearly has postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, it might not be because I feel like it's subtle. She like mentions.
Yeah,
her
the
baby.
The baby gets mentioned like. Dropped at one point and then another point where you're like, okay, the baby she referenced before is definitely her baby,
right? And a baby, this is probably postpartum depression, right.
And essentially the whole crux of this story is she wants to get better, and everything her physician husband tells her makes things worse. Basically, he is overbearing and limits things that she can do, all of the things that she, all of the ideas she has to deal with her problems, fall on deaf ears, and she has no autonomy to actually implement them.
Well, she mentions early on that her husband's a physician, and she's basically like, "You might think that's a good thing." But it's not because my husband's a physician. I guess it's kind of two things. Like, A, I don't get to talk to another physician. Although at this time, I can't imagine that would do anything even, you know, because that physician's going to talk to her husband beforehand and afterwards anyway. But also... Because he's a physician and he doesn't believe her, essentially. Like or it's not necessarily that he doesn't believe her. I forget how she.
I know I'm the man and I'm a physician and like you're a hysterical woman and it's a temporary depression and you'll get over it, but you can't like. Do any of the things that you want to do.
Right, or anything that you think
you
would help.
You can't stay in the room that you want to stay in. You have to stay in this weird old, like, playroom that's also, like, a greenhouse or something, but has this...
seems musty.
Yellow wallpaper that has mostly been ripped down that you're going to be obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing that I just couldn't vibe with in this story... Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't picture this wallpaper.
Oh, really?
And I know that it was described in every time I tried to like read that, like my eyes glazed over. And I've been waking up real early and I've been reading at night. And so like, I don't retain any information anyway. Like, this is, I think, a problem of my brain and my situation right now. But there was so much description of this wallpaper.
Yeah.
And like, the only thing I got is like, and the gist of it is like, it's kind of like prison bars, and she imagines a woman behind there because she's a woman who's been imprisoned.
If you're having trouble remembering stuff, Tim, maybe we should find one of these houses for you that we can put you in.
I mean, to be honest, if I didn't have depression or like... This life seems like I would do this for 3 months, sit in a very sunny room.
Sit in a sunny room?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is sunny. It sounds like it's not.
It's
bad.
Windows everywhere, Tom. Yeah.
Is it? Because I thought at one point she talks about that she wants to be on the first floor because she'd be able to step outside maybe.
Yeah, well, she can't go outside here, yeah, but like she can.
But I thought it was also because like the first floor at least like had windows and her
no
room
there was one window that she liked that overlooked something, and like her husband's like, there's only one window in there. Can't fit two
beds in there. Yeah,
and it's like, two beds, what year is it? And then they said 1892, and I went, oh, okay.
Oh, right, yeah, he's imprisoning his wife because right. She's depressed. Yeah, I found my highlight here. It says, John does not know how much I really suffer. He knows there's no reason to suffer, and that satisfies him. Which I feel like that very, very succinctly sums up like the problem here, which is basically he's like, why are you unhappy? You got no reason to be unhappy. Look, everything's great. And that's not the way depression works. You can't just tell somebody, hey, cheer up. Things aren't that bad.
Right.
And yeah, it makes sense why in this case he has no helpful thing because he doesn't think there's actually anything wrong with her. He thinks she's literally being hysterical.
Right. And he has, so he's mostly off at work,
mm-hmm.
and he has his sister.
where he's telling other husbands their wives are hysterical and that they should just keep them in a room.
Right. And he has it's his sister that comes and pretty much also like plays like prison warden.
Yeah.
So yeah, it goes on like this. She obsesses over this yellow wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
She writes and like she's forbidden to write also.
Yeah.
So she's writing in secret.
I don't know if we mentioned that. Like this whole story's told through a journal she's keeping.
Right. There's some just apropos of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a sad line. Its own paragraph. I cry at nothing and cry most of the time.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, and when I said, like, this would be nice to do for 3 months, not if I'm in a position where I'm crying at nothing and crying all of the time.
Yeah, and, like, she wants to exercise, and he says, your exercise depends on your strength, my dear, and your food somewhat on your appetite, but air you can absorb all the time. Because I guess, like, just the windows are open all the time. But, yeah, she wants, like, she understands what would help, which is, like, getting out, getting exercise, getting fresh air.
And seeing other people.
Seeing other people, like, doing work. Like, that's a big thing that, like you mentioned, he doesn't want her writing. That it's like, no, you're much too weak for work. And, you know, her thing, I don't think she ever like spells it out this way, but it's obviously like, no, that would help. That would get my mind off things. It would give my mind something to do instead of look at this fucking yellow wallpaper all day and pick out like where it doesn't line up and kind of like obsess about that and like follow patterns. Like there's an escalating
right
madness happening here of like
to the point where she thinks there's literally a woman trapped behind the patterns
who's like banging on the walls and escapes at one point. She's trying to escape.
I also like this line. I kept still and watched the moonlight on that undulating wallpaper till I felt creepy.
Yeah, she talks a lot about feeling creepy and being creepy, like walking around in a creepy way, which, you know, sometimes you read stuff from like 130 years ago and they're using vernacular that's like that word's kind of changed its meaning. I don't really get it. I get it, but it's hard to, I don't know, process. Mm. But this, it's like, oh, you're being creepy? Hey, we still got creepy.
And then we got, she's like, hey, like, I'd like to redo this wallpaper or, like, take this down. And her husband's like, yeah, we're only here for 3 months. I'm not going to let you have any say in the room that I'm forcing you to stay in 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
At one point she says, the fact is I'm getting a little afraid of John. Like, look, things just escalate in her head.
Well, at one point she, she's getting like a smell's bothering her.
This is the next thing I was say. If we probably have the same highlight, I thought seriously of burning the house down to reach the smell.
When that came up, I kind of thought like, oh boy, here we go. This is how it's going to end. that she's going to like burn this house down.
Right.
But I think that's
No, you were outsmarted by Charlotte Perkins Gilman.
Yes, I was.
You
yet
thought
again.
I was going to do she. You thought she was going to zig? She's egged.
She threw a red herring out there.
Right.
But I think it's also that's like the first, maybe not the first hint a dummy like me got of right. like, oh, now like this woman's depression is morphing into like something dangerous. It's morphing into like a psychosis of
right.
of she's been trapped in this one place for so long that now you've taken somebody who's depressed and given them other mental issues where because of like lack of stimulation and lack of contact, now they're thinking, oh, I have to burn the house down to fix this problem. But also, you know, she's reaching desperation because nobody's listening to her.
Right.
So you got to think there's something in her mind of like, well, if I burn the house down, maybe they'll finally realize something's wrong with me. So, you know, I need help.
So what did you find about her whole thing? Like in the beginning, it's like, I think there's some level of hauntedness to this. Did you find this story to be like creepy in the way that a ghost story is creepy, or like, you know, this is often described as like kind of a horror story, which like, I don't know. I feel like it's more of a psychological thriller slash.
Yeah. Or like psychological
story.
Horror.
Yeah.
Instead of like paranormal horror.
So it ends with her essentially scratching off the wallpaper because she wants to free
the woman.
The woman stuck behind the bars.
Mm-hmm.
John coming home, trying to get in as she's doing this or as she has done it.
Yeah.
She refuses to unlock the door. So he leaves to go get a key. And when he comes in and sees her, he faints. And am I missing something here? Is there something grisly that I like?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out because she talks about like finding a rope and hiding it at one point. And then I think later she talks about like using the rope to escape.
Right.
So I did wonder like, oh, did she hang herself at the end? Is that what the implication is? But I mean, I didn't read, I only read like one or two analyses of this.
It's a good word to use as a smart man.
And they didn't mention that that's like, you know, what's happening at the end. So maybe I'm just completely off the mark. But that's kind of, that was the implication I got.
I got the implication she was dead the whole time.
Oh, like The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
I got the implication because I think she talks about like, oh, maybe I can use this rope to like jump out the window and get to the first floor, that it was something like that, that it was like, no, she actually used the rope to hang herself. And that's why the husband faints when he comes in.
Or is it just,
but that doesn't explain how she would be able to write this. But I guess nothing really explains how she'd be able to write the end part unless like she, I don't know, if the situation just continued.
Just so wrapped up in her psychosis at this point where she's ripping the, like, is that just so troublesome to John, who's just like, oh, I had this thing nipped in the butt, like in the bud, like it was fine. And
Tim, please don't say butt on this podcast.
Well, it's also, that's not the phrase. Is it like, oh my God, like what the hell happened? This got out of hand because he didn't realize how out of hand it was going. And like, he's a man in 1892. He's like, oh, brother.
Yeah.
Whatever. She's ecstatic, right?
I wanted to say that I think nipped in the butt was the video I showed you to demonstrate the app. That's probably why it's top of mind.
So she's happy that she freed the woman.
Yeah.
John faints and she's just like, hey, and like
he faints. So it says like he stopped short. I She says, "Open the door, my darling." "I can't," said I. "The key is down by the front door under the plantain leaf." I was like, "What's that word, plantain?" And then I said it again several times, very gently and slowly, and said it so often that he had to go and see. And he got it, of course, and came in. He stopped short by the door. "What is the matter?" he cried. "For God's sake, what are you doing?" I kept on creeping just the same, but I looked at him over my shoulder. "I've got out at last," said I, "in spite of you and Jane, and I've pulled off most of the paper, so you can't put me back. Now, why should that man have fainted? But he did, and right across my path by the wall, so that I had to creep over him every time." Yeah, I like don't completely get what's happening at the end there.
He faints.
He faints and he like they both go in the wallpaper?
Maybe.
But the fact that she like looks over her shoulder, like I read it as like she's about to hang herself and that's the logical conclusion to like her depression and then being isolated in this way that there's only one way out the way she sees it. And that's what's happening here.
Sound off in the comments. How did you interpret? Did you read it? And how did you interpret the ending? I didn't interpret any.
If you didn't read it, I mean, it's pretty short. It's 6,000 words.
6,000 pages.
See, you could devour it in a... 15 minutes. I don't know. I was trying to think of like
in a cockroach's gestation period.
Boy, yeah, probably.
Well, they got eggs, right?
Yeah, but I bet those eggs come out in no time, and then they hatch real quick too.
I don't know. I feel like I'm. We have opposing viewpoints here, mm-hmm. where it's like. I didn't see anything that dramatic at the end.
Well, you said like this woman's hysterical, and he's just trying to help her for God's sake. It is. I mean, I'm genuinely shocked that I haven't heard of this before because I did think it's
mentioned a rope at one point, and you're just like, that's Chekhov's rope right there. Yeah.
But I did think it was, very good. Like I get why it's a classic.
I was really tired and I just felt like I was like, enough about describing this wallpaper, but I get.
Well, but I just think like I could see 130 years ago this being like mind blowing
because they didn't have like good stuff on TV.
Yeah, there wasn't anything on TV. No, but just that somebody's talking about this topic in this way and in like the first person in a journal, you know, just try like she's trying the author to like. Convey this emotion that is, you know, that certainly at the time at least half the population not only didn't understand but dismissed.
Right. I would have been a good guy back then.
And I think also like
sound off in the comments, would you have been a good guy in the 1890s?
And you think Tim would have been a good guy?
I think I would have been a good guy.
Tim,
I think I would have been like ridiculed by people like you for being a good guy.
Yeah, they would have had you working with the horses in the.
Yeah, that's fine.
They would have been like, go ahead and put shoes on the horse. Not those kinds of shoes, for God's sake. How many times do we have to tell you?
Man, we should put regular shoes on horses.
Tim, you can't put regular shoes on a horse.
Are you going to nail these other shoes to them? They like that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I got a bridge to tell you, my friend.
I don't know if they didn't.
The horses like things getting nailed into their
fucking.
Did you
say horse?
Horses.
Oh, okay.
What were we talking about?
All right. That was Yellow Wallpaper as performed by me and Tim. But yeah, sound off in the comments. Did you read it? What do you think? How you interpret? I genuinely am curious if I'm just like way off the mark and I'm misinterpreting.
You always need a twist.
Yeah. No, I think that was the twist. Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. So yeah, I need it.
Thank you for listening. We thank you for being patrons. We love you very much. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next week for what do we have? One more
before Gump Ember.
Before, yeah. The most Gumpterful time of the year.
Yeah. I don't know.
There was one guy that was pissed that we were doing Gump. Sound off in the comments. Scale of 1 to 10. If you're pissed about Gump, mm-hmm. how pissed are you?
Okay.
10 being you're going to cancel your Patreon.
Wow. You've given, boy, our patrons have a lot of homework this week.
Yeah.
A lot to sound off on. Yeah. Continue the outro.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.